Welcome to Headphone News, International Edition for Tuesday, April 1, 2025.
Israel's proposal for extended truce in Gaza. Israeli officials have put forward a plan for an extended truce in Gaza, aiming to secure the return of half of the 24 hostages held by Hamas. This ongoing conflict, which started in October 2023, has led to tens of thousands of casualties and widespread suffering. The proposed truce would last about 6 weeks and seeks to clarify the fate of around 35 hostages believed to be dead. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has emphasized the need for military pressure on Hamas to aid negotiations. Hamas has shown openness to proposals from mediators in Qatar and Egypt, suggesting that 5 hostages could be released each week in exchange for a truce. After a 2-month ceasefire, the Israeli military resumed operations on March 18, 2025. During which 33 Israeli hostages and 5 Thai nationals were freed in exchange for about 2,000 Palestinian prisoners. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza is heartbreaking, with over 50,000 Palestinians reported killed. These ongoing negotiations highlight the complexities of the conflict and the urgent need for a resolution.
Strengthening U.S.-Japan military ties. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth recently underscored Japan's vital role in countering China's assertiveness in the Asia-Pacific. During his visit to Tokyo on March 31, 2025, he announced plans to upgrade the U.S. military command in Japan to enhance joint operations. Hegseth stressed the need for both nations to speed up military cooperation, especially regarding potential crises involving Taiwan. In July 2025, the U.S. and Japan agreed to improve their military command structures, marking a significant step in their partnership. With over 50,000 U.S. troops stationed in Japan, the alliance is stronger than ever. Japan has also launched the Japan Joint Operations Command to better coordinate its military forces, improving emergency responses and collaboration with U.S. troops. Hegseth described the reorganization of U.S. forces as a proactive measure to prepare for any conflicts, reaffirming both nations' commitment to peace and readiness. This discussion also highlighted the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Iwo Jima, a reminder of the enduring alliance between the U.S. and Japan.
ARM Holdings' ambitious growth in data center CPUs. ARM Holdings, a top technology company from the U.K., is anticipating a remarkable rise in its market share of global data center CPUs, jumping from about 15% in 2024 to 50% by the end of 2025. This surge is fueled by the growing need for AI tech that demands efficient processing. ARM CPUs play a crucial role in AI systems, managing other chips, with NVIDIA using an ARM-based chip called Grace in its advanced setups. Known for their lower power consumption, ARM's chips are becoming increasingly popular among cloud companies, especially as AI data centers consume a lot of electricity. Mohammed Awad, ARM's infrastructure chief, emphasizes this trend. ARM, which is 90% owned by Japan's SoftBank Group, licenses its technology to major players like Apple and NVIDIA, who then create their own chips. After nearly 2 decades of challenges in the data center market, ARM is finally seeing a shift as software development increasingly favors its architecture. Amazon has already integrated ARM technology into its data center CPUs, accounting for over half of the chip capacity added in the last 2 years. Other tech giants like Alphabet and Microsoft are also starting to develop ARM-based chips, although their efforts are newer compared to Amazon's.
Taiwan's economic outlook amid U.S. tariffs. On March 31, 2025, President Lai Ching-te of Taiwan held a crucial meeting in Taipei to address the potential economic storm brewing from upcoming U.S. tariffs. The U.S. Treasury Secretary revealed that these tariffs will target 15 countries, including Taiwan, China, South Korea, and the European Union, with an announcement set for April 2. During the meeting, President Lai and Premier Cho Yung-tai worked together to develop backup plans to safeguard Taiwan's economy. Lai emphasized the importance of stability and support for industries that could be affected. Deputy Finance Minister Frank Won expressed hope that Taiwan's electronics sector might weather the storm better, thanks to a recent $100 billion investment by Taiwan's semiconductor manufacturing company in the U.S. Last year, Taiwan's trade surplus with the U.S. soared by 83%, reaching a record $111.4 billion, largely driven by high demand for technology products. However, concerns about the impending tariffs caused Taiwan's main stock index to drop over 3%, reflecting market anxieties about the potential impact on the export-driven economy.
Senators urged Trump to revise trade policies with China. Democratic Senators Tammy Baldwin, Gary Peters, and Alyssa Slotkin are urging President Donald Trump to change the United States' trade policies with China. In a letter dated March 31, 2025, they emphasize the urgent need to review 14 free trade agreements, especially as the U.S. manufacturing sector has lost around 4.3 million jobs since 2001. The senators pointed out that current tariffs are negatively impacting financial markets and called for a trade policy that supports American workers. They also want Trump to reconsider the 2000 decision that allowed China to join the World Trade Organization. By investing in American manufacturing and enforcing fair competition laws, they believe we can empower workers and strengthen unions. This bipartisan effort highlights a growing concern about the future of American jobs and the need for trade policies that truly prioritize workers' needs. What does this mean for everyday Americans? The stakes have never been higher.
Trump's bid for a third presidential term. Donald Trump is making headlines again by announcing his bid for a third presidential term, stirring up significant legal questions about the 22nd Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which limits presidents to two terms. Legal experts, including Wayne Unger from Quinnipiac University, believe the Constitution clearly forbids a third term, suggesting that any legal challenge from Trump is likely to fail. Currently, Trump's Republican Party holds a slim majority in Congress, with 218 members in the House of Representatives and 53 in the Senate. To change the Constitution, he would need two-thirds of the votes in both parts of Congress and approval from 38 of the 50 state legislatures, where Republicans control 28. In January, Republican Representative Andy Ogles proposed an amendment that could allow presidents to serve three non-consecutive terms, potentially paving the way for Trump to run again in 2029. Trump has also hinted that his vice president, J.D. Vance, might run for president in 2028, with Trump considering a vice presidential bid. However, due to the rules in the Constitution, Trump cannot serve as vice president again. This situation raises important questions about presidential term limits and the future of U.S. politics.
Water scarcity and lithium mining. Water scarcity is posing a serious threat to lithium mining in the Lithium Triangle, a mineral-rich area in the Andean Plateau that includes Argentina, Bolivia, and Chile. This region holds over half of the world's lithium reserves, which are crucial for electric vehicle batteries and renewable energy. A recent study reveals that the available freshwater for lithium extraction is about 10 times lower than previously thought. With global lithium demand expected to soar by 40 times by 2040, the limited rainfall in this arid region may not keep up. Researchers are urging the lithium industry to cut down on freshwater use to avoid disruptions in mining, which can require enough water to fill several large swimming pools for every ton of lithium extracted. Freshwater is also vital for local agriculture and unique wetlands that support diverse wildlife. Experts like David Bout from the University of Massachusetts Amherst stress the importance of water in these ecosystems. However, challenges such as permitting delays may hinder companies from meeting rising demand. As lithium accumulation takes millions of years, sustainable practices are urgently needed to protect this vital resource.
Trump family enters cryptocurrency market. In a surprising move, the Trump family is entering the cryptocurrency market by taking control of World Liberty Financial, a company focused on decentralized finance, or DeFi. This venture aims to provide financial services without traditional banks. So far, it has raised over $550 million through governance tokens called $WLFI, which grant holders voting rights but can't be traded on exchanges. Led by Donald Trump, the family is set to earn 75% of the total revenue from token sales and 60% from the company's operations, potentially making around $400 million in fees. Launched in the fall of 2024, shortly after Trump's election victory, World Liberty Financial has yet to reveal a public platform and currently has a small team. This development raises intriguing questions about the intersection of politics and finance in the fast-changing world of cryptocurrency. What could this mean for the future of finance?
NTU challenges Trump's executive order. The National Treasury Employees Union, or NTU, has launched a legal battle in Washington, D.C. against an executive order from President Donald Trump. This order allows certain federal agencies to bypass negotiations with unions, jeopardizing the labor rights of federal workers. With a membership of 150,000, the NTU warns that over 100,000 of its members could be impacted. The lawsuit seeks to prevent federal agencies from complying with what the union views as an effort to weaken unions that oppose Trump's policies. What does this mean for the future of labor rights in America? As tensions escalate between the government and labor organizations, the outcome of this case could shape the landscape for workers nationwide.
Trump administration reviews Harvard funding. The Trump administration is taking a close look at $9 billion in federal funding for Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This review aims to tackle rising anti-Semitism on college campuses and involves several government departments, including education and health and human services. Among the funds under examination are $255.6 million in contracts and $8.7 billion in multi-year grants. Supporters believe this initiative is crucial to combat far-left extremism in U.S. colleges, while critics argue it threatens academic freedom and free speech. This action follows a cancellation of $400 million in federal funding for Columbia University and a suspension of $175 million for University of Pennsylvania due to their policies on transgender athletes. The Department of Education has warned 60 universities, including Harvard, that they could face legal actions if they fail to protect Jewish students from anti-Semitic incidents.
U.S. sanctions on Chinese and Hong Kong officials. The United States has imposed sanctions on 6 senior officials from China and Hong Kong for their involvement in human rights abuses that threaten Hong Kong's independence. This significant action by the Biden administration responds to China's crackdown on pro-democracy advocates. The U.S. State Department revealed that these officials have used national security laws to threaten and silence 19 activists, forcing some, including a U.S. citizen, to flee abroad. Among those sanctioned is Dong Jingwei, director of Beijing's Office for Safeguarding National Security in Hong Kong. These sanctions freeze any property these individuals may hold in the U.S. Critics argue that China's national security law stifles dissent and media freedom. This move stems from a 2020 executive order by former President Trump, with bipartisan support urging continued action against human rights violations in Hong Kong. Francis Hui from the Committee for Freedom in Hong Kong Foundation welcomed these sanctions as a vital step toward accountability. What does this mean for the future of democracy in Hong Kong?
White House closes Signal messaging app scandal. The White House has officially closed the investigation into the Signal messaging app scandal involving National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. This decision follows criticism from both political parties regarding a security lapse that revealed divisions within the Trump administration. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt expressed her continued backing for Waltz, who faced backlash for including Jeffrey Goldberg, editor of The Atlantic, in a private chat about a planned bombing operation in Yemen. This operation, targeting Houthi militants, was publicly disclosed by Goldberg shortly after it occurred in mid-March 2025. Leavitt mentioned that new measures are in place to prevent similar incidents in the future. This situation raises important questions about government communications and the need for transparency and accountability. As developments unfold, the administration is committed to addressing concerns from Congress.
That is all the news for today. Thank you for listening to today's Headphone News. News summary brought to you by AI.